Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Wesley Wildman and now Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning, everybody. And I am wearing Paisley today.
Yes, you are. And I like that shirt. Blue and black are my favorite colors, and that shirt has both. So it's kind of that's a winner.
And darker. He's got blue, the Paisley, and I've got the plaid flannel.
That's and you're just boring.
I just wore the heaviest sweater I could find in my closet, and
see, I'm a Colorado boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't bother me at all.
Doesn't.
Oh, that's right. Just another day. You probably didn't even put on a jacket this morning, did you?
No.
No.
I'm wearing what I'm wearing. Most of the time, it's like all I have to worry about is getting from the car, which is warm, to the office, which is warm.
Yes.
It's like, you know what, 30 feet?
Yeah, by the time. Yeah, that's true. By the time you put on the jacket, you're taking it off again. I get it.
Yes.
I get it.
Yeah, right. If I was mowing the lawn or doing something outside, I'd put a jacket on, but yeah.
And if you're mowing the lawn in January, you ain't living in the South.
Exactly.
Or anywhere, yeah. Where is there anywhere in January that's warm?
Yeah, Australia.
Okay, fair
Australia.
Enough.
Australia. Yes, but is that a city or a continent? I mean, is it an island or a continent?
Well played. For those faithful, we're not going to redo that.
No,
that was
right.
Special. That was a special nugget for our faithful listeners that listen all the time. They know.
That's right.
They
know exactly
if you know,
what we're
if
referring
you know.
To.
You know, you know.
If
and
you know, you know.
And if you don't, now's the time to become a faithful listener.
There That's you right. go.
2025, January, New Year.
That we just had that little exchange. That's premium content right
That's
there.
That's the word I was looking for,
yep,
premium content.
All right, Steve, one of the things, there's been so much going on this week. One of the things I don't think we've talked about, maybe we did when I wasn't on the show, is the funeral of Jimmy Carter. That's going on now.
Yeah, well, we didn't. The funeral's only been this morning, so you've been on the show for the entire funeral.
Oh,
so
okay.
We haven't talked about the funeral.
All
we right. have talked a little bit about Jimmy Carter
yes.
before, but I've been keeping an eye on a couple things. I watched a little bit of this funeral, and there's some really good eulogies for Jimmy Carter. The one that caught my ear was delivered by the son of Gerald Ford. I don't have his name, but apparently late in their lives, they became, after they ran and were both ex-presidents, they became fast friends.
Okay.
Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford. And Jimmy Carter said to Gerald Ford, "I'd like you to give a eulogy at my funeral." And Gerald Ford said to Jimmy Carter, "I'd like you to do the same." And they kind of laughed because Carter was 10 years older than Ford.
Yeah.
Didn't think, you know, whoever outlasts the other guy gets
right.
to. Well, they're both gone now. And Gerald Ford's son delivered the eulogy.
Interesting.
That he had written. And it was very well spoken. And
so Gerald good. Ford had written the eulogy yeah. in advance.
Yeah.
And by the way, when Richard Nixon resigned from office, Gerald Ford finished his term and ran in 1976 for, I guess that would be considered running for election, maybe not re-election, but Jimmy Carter beat him in 76. Yeah. So that was the political rivalry that started in 76. You're saying, and I did not know this, that both Ford and Carter became fast friends after that election.
After that. Yeah. Interesting thing about Ford. Now, I don't know if this is still true, but at one point, he was the only person to serve as president that had never been through any kind of presidential primary or election.
Because he
replaced Spiro Agnew.
Spiro Agnew, who resigned, who ran with Nixon
right.
in 72.
Right.
I don't know if he ran with Nixon in 68. Maybe he did.
I don't know.
But anyway, he resigned. Spiro Agnew, the vice president, resigned because of an ongoing corruption investigation.
Right.
And so he dropped
Nixon,
out.
Nixon appoints Ford.
Yes.
Then Nixon has to resign, and Ford, who was, I guess, a congressman from Michigan. He all of a sudden finds himself president of the United States.
Yeah.
And no one ever, I mean, you know, all.
He was actually an excellent athlete, although he had one stumble coming down some stairs, I think. And then from then on, Chevy Chase on Saturday Night yes. Live mocked Gerald Ford as right. if he was some kind of dweeb, but he was actually quite a football player.
Yeah, he was a good football player.
Yeah.
Joe Biden gave his eulogy, and they have him on his meds. It was all good. Yeah. Although he always kind of sounds a little angry when he's talking. He did today. It's like Jimmy Carter was a good friend.
Oh.
I'm not joking.
And well,
we all want to live like Jimmy Carter. It's like he's always a little bit angry.
I think
I'm guessing that has to do with his mental and physical decline. I don't know if he's even sure of himself or what he's saying.
He's trying to convince himself of everything he's saying by yelling. I don't want to be critical of Joe Biden on this particular issue, because there's just so much else we can be critical about.
Sure.
And your day's coming.
But you got
and my day's coming. So what I'm going to say is that when you get older, you go in one or two directions. In other words, your temperament, your personality kind of hardens in one direction or another. And you either become really cranky, you know, kind of like, hey, you kids, get off my grass kind of thing, or you become really jovial. And I think
like passive or just whatever.
Well, you happens. Just, you know, you like grandpa, you know, right. You just, hey, yeah, whatever. And I think Joe Biden is on the cranky side of the spectrum.
I think he is.
Although I will
just
in
use
his
spectrum
defense,
and Joe Biden in the same sentence.
What's that?
You just use spectrum and Joe Biden, President Biden in the same sentence.
In his defense,
that's all I heard.
I will
spectrum.
In his defense, I will say, he really got – he was done wrong by his own party.
Yeah, yeah.
And sure. He may be resentful of anyone. So anyway, we're way off course.
Yes, here. We are. All right,
bring us
back.
Another thing that happened at the funeral, all the presidents, the living presidents, were there and sitting together, right? So on the front row, because he's currently president, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
The back row, it was in order of when they were president. So it was Bill Clinton. I don't know if I can remember that name. So it was Bill Clinton, and then it was George W., and then it was Obama, and then it was Trump. And at one point, Trump and Obama, they lean in, and they're talking to each other, and they're kind of look like they're having a good conversation, you know, laughing a little bit and everything. Well, of course, there's no microphones to pick that up, but thanks to the internet, we have everybody's opinion about what they said.
Oh man!
Oh boy, this is going to be fun. We got 18 minutes left of this.
Well, apparently, a guy named Michael Anthony Lee says Trump said, "I told you not to run Joe Biden." How'd that work out? To which Obama said, "Look, we both know I was the real president, so it worked out just fine."
But by the way, so you got more of this?
A couple more. Give us a couple more. We need at least two more.
Okay.
No more, though. At least no more.
Yes. Donald Trump, I'm going to buy Greenland. Barack Obama, I know, Don. Trump to Obama, remember the time you said I'd never be president?
He did say that.
All right.
So, by the way, were they, just in terms of the logistics, were they sitting also with their spouses?
Every spouse was there except for Michelle Obama.
Oh, okay. All right.
Doug Emhoff was sitting
next to Bill Clinton was sitting there, as well as Hillary Clinton, who was also never president.
Right.
that's uncalled for. That was not – okay.
All right.
We'll move on. Anyway, so that is for all – as far as we know, Jimmy Carter was a born-again Christian.
Yep.
I disagreed with many of his policies and his views on biblical subjects. But that
he left the Southern Baptist Church over women in the pulpit.
Yeah, he in his life he swung, including on the issue of same-sex marriage and all that. He swung away from biblical fidelity. But that's not unusual in America. We have entire denominations that have done that.
Yeah, well, the funeral is full of faith and scripture and everything.
Yeah, okay,
as befits him. Good. So we got some breaking news. You know that the Biden administration had changed Title IX. They'd added gender identity, and men, you know, that's the reason you get men playing in women's sports.
Right.
Because all of a sudden,
even
Title
threatening
IX,
school districts.
Right. Title IX it deals with women's rights in schools. Well, a federal court has ruled that it, I'll read it. It says, because the final rule and its corresponding regulations exceed the Department of Education's authority under Title IX, violate the Constitution, and are the result of the arbitrary and capricious agency action, the plaintiff's motions for summary judgment will be granted. Now, this was Women's Law Forum was suing on behalf of women. So they won the case. And this is from May Mailman, who is the director of the Independent Women's Law Center. She said, Biden's absurd Title IX rewrite is ended nationwide. It is abundantly clear that discrimination on the basis of sex means discrimination on the basis of being male and female. Expanding the meaning on the basis of sex to include gender identity turns Title IX on its head.
It absolutely does. Now, before we discuss this a little bit further, what court was this? Is this a district?
Well,
district
it was court? A lower. It was a district court. It was a district court. But here's the thing: we now, or in a couple days, are going to have a Trump Justice Department.
Right.
They're not going to. They're not going to be. Challenging
and Department of Education and all that.
Right. So effectively, this is the last ruling.
Well, Wesley, this is a welcome bit of sanity to this issue because. With the quotes that Steve was just reading, it is absolutely true that the whole idea of Title IX was to protect women. And then because of this gender dysphoria insanity, the laws protecting women in sports, for example, were turned on their heads so that women come out on the bad side of the ledger.
Yep.
And men like Will Thomas, swimming as Leah Thomas, were taking trophies and scholarships from women. I hope this is a bizarre moment in history that we all can look back on and say, what were people thinking? But at least we have a sane ruling from this federal court.
Yeah, and you got to think that that'll trickle down into high school sports and other. And
I
other.
Think Title IX, doesn't it control it, high school
it,
as well?
It should, absolutely. But... Go ahead.
Well, now help me understand then, because there is such. I mean, there's you got conferences. There are multiple layers here, because you wonder why there's not just a federal ban on why some high schools are doing it, but others aren't, and then that's because they're in a different conference, right? Some conferences allow it, some don't. Some school districts allow it, some don't. Some states do, some don't.
It has been a kind of patchwork application, because you had entire states that so disagreed with what the Biden administration's Department of Education was trying to accomplish.
Right.
They said, we're not doing that.
Right.
And some of them joined lawsuits of one sort or another.
Yeah, there was a patchwork, but that's what the Biden administration was trying to overrule.
Yes.
They put this Title IX regulations, and it does apply to high schools.
Okay.
They said, okay, we don't care what your local policy is. If you want any funds from the federal government, colleges and high schools need those, then you're going to abide by or you let transgender people
you're
locker
thinking,
rooms.
You're thinking of like the – I think you're thinking of like the International Olympic Committee.
Right.
And some of the collegiate sports governing agencies. Some of them said, you decide on your own, school.
That's right.
The International Olympic Committee said, whatever group is governing particular sports, whether it's swimming or gymnastics, you decide. We're not going to make the call. So,
and this is very exciting to know that President Trump's going to do something about this. Now, will this have obviously have an impact on like the actual sport game as it's being played out? But how will this go? I guess then that will answer the question about men in women's locker room too. Then, right? If they can't play,
well,
on the team or
not necessarily, because, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, I think what this ruling says is that the Title IX actions on the part of the Biden administration trying to force every school to abide by its twisted understanding of gender. Those actions are unconstitutional, exceed the authority granted by Congress. However, individual states can still pass their own laws,
right,
saying you've got to, if a boy thinks he's a girl,
we'll fight at that level next then.
Yes. Yeah. So states, it's now back to the states to fight those battles in their state legislatures.
So Title IX is a federal law that prohibits sex discrimination in schools, not just athletics, but in schools,
right,
which would speak into the locker room issue.
Yes.
Now that they have overturned this. The schools that want to allow men or guys into girls' locker rooms won't be able to use Title IX as an excuse.
Right.
And will now be subject to lawsuits, and they just got their backing taken away.
Because now they can't say, well, the federal government told us to do it.
Right.
Okay, good. Listen, this is
good news.
You said breaking news, and this is, as you said, Wesley, this is good news, great news for people like Riley Gaines and others who have been fighting this. Well, AFA has been fighting it as well, passionately to protect women. This, for us, it started with the Target boycott. That has nothing to do with Title IX, but the Target boycott when they said, hey, guess what we're doing? And they clapped themselves, packed themselves, patted themselves on the back. We're going to allow men into girls' changing areas and bathrooms. I think a lot of people, that's a bridge too far for most people in this country.
We had a Robbie Starbuck on Target.
Target.
You know, he's been good with everybody else. He could probably resolve this thing.
he's on a roll, no doubt.
Hey, we continue to watch also the fires in L.A., and I have tons of sound we can get through. We might not get to all of it, but let me start here. This is has taken a number of well-known actors and people their homes, because this is in the Hollywood Hills, and it's a lot of people that
Malibu, all these areas.
So James Woods, he's a conservative actor. You all know who James Wood is. Wood. He lost a home.
Yes.
And so
he's very emotional about it.
He was talking with the local TV station who's interviewing him, And this is what he had to say, cut 12.
Laura, with all due respect, if it is true that things were handled this way, if it is true that Gavin Newsom is the absolute blithering idiot that I believe he is in the way he has handled fire management in this state again and again and again and again, this isn't a wake-up call. This is the kind of thing they have tribunals for, where they try people and say, you had an oath of office to perform certain duties. When you're the fire chief, this isn't a social justice exercise that you're in charge of. This is you getting water to areas that need water because there are fires in 100-mile-an-hour winds burning houses to the ground.
He went on to say, we lost our home, but that's nothing compared to the five people who lost their lives. So,
yeah, and, you know, we had Jenna Ellis on in the last hour, and she mentioned something. We never did come back and revisit it. Wesley, I've seen on X comments about James Wood losing his house. I haven't seen Jenna mention this about Mark Hamill, who's a liberal.
Yeah.
He's very liberal. James Wood, very conservative. And people basically saying you deserved it because it's karma, because of your political views. And I disagree with doing that for either side.
Absolutely.
When somebody has a tragic event like this, you don't. I mean, it's biblical when Jesus said, I think it's in the book of Luke, it seems like chapter 13 is what's coming to my mind, but he said, don't say that the tower that fell in Siloam and crushed those individuals, they must have been more wicked than anybody else, because judgment's coming for all of you. To me, that's the attitude that people should have. Is this kind of thing can happen to anyone? Don't get self-righteous.
Rain on the just and the unjust.
Yes.
I don't buy much.
I've been down that road with people before. It's completely unnecessary. It doesn't make a point. I mean, what difference does it make? How one person falls that way and I may fall on a different way. The point is that there's a problem here that could have been not completely necessarily eliminated, but it could have been mitigated.
Yeah.
By some policies that were that,
right.
And again, now the bigger this gets, the more it's going to be scrutinized and the more you're going to find. And so if this was a 4-hour burn, this is not, but at this point, there's so much damage. You got to think that something could have been done differently.
Yes.
A fire hydrant not having water.
Right.
Well, we got to answer for this.
Yes. And so I guess the point I'm making is, folks, no matter what your political persuasion, you don't gloat over someone else's misfortune. On the other hand, it is certainly valid to talk about, like James Wood was doing, talking about the policies that may have led to the disaster, or if other policies had been followed, might have mitigated against it.
And he mentioned that the fire chief shouldn't be doing a social experiment. And I remember I heard you, Wesley, were talking about some the who the fire chief is.
We had some audio from the L.A. fire chief.
The fire chief in Los Angeles is Kristen Crowley. And Kristen Crowley, this is
her name at first, because all she talks about is being a lesbian.
Well, and so here's the thing.
She didn't really introduce herself.
Here's the thing. This was recorded months ago, so well before the fire. Listen to cut 8.
I'm super inspired.
She took time out of her already busy schedule to tell us about her vision for the department's future, one that includes a 3-year strategic plan to increase diversity.
People ask me, well, what number are you looking for? I said, I'm not looking for a number. It's never enough.
Out of 3,300 city firefighters, only 115 are women right now. She's already looking at ways to change that. She's quick to point out that doing so has a greater purpose, attracting the best and brightest for the job.
They feel included, they feel valued, and they feel part of a cohesive team.
The chief also checks another box when it comes to inclusivity and diversity at this department. She's a proud member of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Now, back to the fire we're talking about here.
Listen, I hope no one misunderstands what I'm saying. Gay people can be firemen and firewomen. I don't know what you call them. Fine if you're qualified to be a fireman.
But of course, they do the DEI at the expense of doing the job.
Now there was we'll end with this. There was one man on the street. Some reporter just grabbed a guy going by.
There you go, man on the street.
Who seemed
not a woman?
Who seemed a little bit? He didn't know there was a fire going on. I'm not sure, but listen to what he has to say. This got 7.
Why is there a fire happening right now?
There are multiple fires that are taking place.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the news, though, you're supposed to know.
Well, I don't know how it started. We don't know how it started. There, you know,
I think
winds.
It's all the gay people in L.A.
Okay. There we go.
Okay.
She said, "Okay."
Okay.
Listen, that's like live radio,
right?
You never know what's going to happen. And if you're on the street and you're doing reports and someone comes up, you're going to have to deal with every situation.
Except so, we knew.
Yeah.
We know, we played it anyway.
Hey, do we have time to we probably don't have time to play the one where the news guy was fire. Saying there we have plenty of water.
34 seconds. That probably not enough time.
We can't.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Brent Creeley just ruined it, our producer.
Yeah. Brent's in charge at the time.
Yes. Anyway, it was pretty funny because there was a news anchor saying nobody's told us that they're running out of water, and they went to the street where they had the reporter. And the reporter said,
first thing, multiple
firemen have told me there is no more water.
Yeah.
And anyway, I live for those kind of moments. All right, folks, that closes out our Thursday, January 9th edition of Today's Issues. More great programming is directly ahead on American Family Radio. We hope you are able, if you're living in a part of the country that's getting hammered by cold, snowy, icy weather, that you stay warm and safe. If you're in Florida, be careful of the falling iguana. Folks, please continue to pray for the people in California who are suffering after having lost everything, including the lives of loved ones. Anyway, for Ed Vitagliano and the rest of our fabulous staff here, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.